Welcome to our first AFCON WOW Aviation Consulting Company podcast hosted by myself, Paul Ritchie. The reason for podcasts is to bring interesting and relevant news and information to podcast listeners as to things and issues that matter to the aviation industry. For those of us fortunate enough to be part of this industry, we can say that it's never routine, that all of its participants need to be able to turn on a dime as we navigate through new challenges on a recurring basis. On today's show, we're honored to welcome Mr. Wayne Anika, the founder, president, and CEO of AFCON WOW Incorporated Aviation Consulting. Wayne, I dare say, is a true veteran to the aviation industry. Before his current role, Wayne fulfilled many key roles, including President of Navstar Aviation, the Regional Operations Director for Servisair, Director of De-icing and Glycol Recovery for Globe Ground, Station Manager for the famous Canadian airline Ward Air, and various management positions for Hudson General, a long-time ground handling company. So Wayne, you're a man with a vast array of aviation experience, both from ground support and from an airline perspective. What motivated you to depart from your aviation operational role to an aviation consulting role?
Thank you, Paul, for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to have this chat with you. What motivated me to go from ops to consulting? During my many years in operations, I learned so much in my time. I saw so many opportunities to transform the industry in a positive fashion and to help the industry grow and prosper. You know, I believed and still believe the best way to do that was to help people, to help each organization discover their true purpose and to help them create great teams of excellence. That could only be accomplished as in a consulting world, not from within the operations world.
Interesting. That kind of leads me to my second question, Wayne. And why did you choose to start up your own aviation consulting company, AFCON WOW Incorporated, versus making your vast knowledge and experience available to a long-time aviation consulting company that's out there, other than AFCON?
Great question, Paul. I've asked myself that on numerous occasions, I can assure you. All right. I first started AFCON WOW. I got the taste, I guess, you know, of ownership in, with Navstar Aviation. Up until Navstar Aviation, I had worked for other operational companies and been in senior management positions, but still as an employee. So my first venture on my own was Navstar Aviation. It was a positive, you know, an overall positive experience for me. I sold the company in 2016 because it needed to expand and it needed a major cash infusion. I sold it to an individual that was able to grow the company. It's still going strong and been rebranded as Global Aviation. I'm very proud of my role in the startup and running that company. So having had the taste of my ownership and that I've originally started AFCON WOW as a partnership in 2016, focused on environmental and operations consulting. Shortly into our operation, my partner decided that he was in good financial shape. His wife wanted to travel while they were still young enough to do so. So he asked to be bought out and retired. He still does some consulting for me and I still get to pick his brain, which is absolutely fantastic. But I had to refocus the company. I belong to a group called TEC, which is the executive committee, which is a mastermind group of CEOs of you know, small business companies from $5 million to $50 million in revenue. You get together. We got together once a month and learn through inspirational speakers. You know, with a very topical subject matter. And one of the speakers was a gentleman named Rick McPartland, who owns the Revenue Game and founded the Revenue Game. Rick reached out to me subsequently and asked if I would like to become a revenue science and chief revenue officer thinking expert. I loved the idea. I went through his training on revenue science. I tore up my whole previous business model for AFCON and redirected it, you know, where it had a revenue science CRO thinking focus, and that okay, and I knew that this was going to be the vehicle I needed to achieve my dream. I did not believe that I could achieve transforming, you know, helping transform the industry in a positive manner as an employee working for someone else that, you know, that had their own dream and their own culture, that you know, I could have been a very good, you know, necessary cog and contributed to that, but I had bigger goals that could only be achieved if I was able to do it on my own and with control over the agenda and the strategic plan.
Fascinating. That kind of leads to my next question for you. I think you'd agree that the aviation industry is viewed by many as not being that big that you get lost in it. Key industry leaders, be they the president and CEO role or in a specialized area such as aircraft de-icing, know who is who in the industry. How then does what AFCON offers to the industry stand out from amongst your industry peers as to a go-to source for help if a problem, or to help them further grow at development opportunity?
I'm glad you asked that question, Paul. It really near and dear to my heart. It's an important thinking. The first thing off the top of my head is how are we different is through the CRO or Chief Revenue Officer thinking. CRO or revenue, you know, focuses on revenue growth and chaos elimination. And it's two-pronged attack, and it's more importantly, it also focuses our solutions from the buyer's point of reference. All right, so we pay attention to what the buyer wants. It's not important what we offer. We offer, you know, both training tools and consulting, you know, to the customer, but it's from their frame of reference. What do they need to grow their revenues, and what do they need to eliminate the waste and the chaos that is created in any organization, and how can they spot this in a timely manner and come up with solutions. You know, we help them develop the systems to allow them to transform their culture and transform, you know, their company with total focus on growing the revenues and eliminating chaos. The other reason is I believe I've assembled an amazing team of subject matter experts in operational aviation operational excellence, in ground handling, in safety management systems, in health and safety, in the environmental world. So we have focuses, you know, both for airports, solutions rather for both airports, airlines, and ground handling and ground service providers that we offer from a unique CRO perspective that other people are not operating, utilizing.
Okay, excellent. That kind of leads me to my next question. The industry is changing, and I dare say must change to adapt, survive, and be able to grow during or post pandemic as we are currently experiencing. Can you share with our listeners the top three challenges, needs, or opportunities facing the industry from your area of expertise or experience?
I will absolutely give that a shot, Paul. I've been thinking a lot about that, and the one thing I know is that COVID, and the necessary isolation that it brought, has placed the greatest survival opportunity in front of the industry that it's ever faced. They've had other challenges. They've had world wars. They've had previous. Epidemics, they've had recessions and depressions, but
9/11, a few crises.
nothing like what COVID has brought. All right. So the first, I guess, the three greatest is the first opportunity is for the industry to become more collaborative in the recovery and beyond. 20th century capitalism is dead. It's not going to work as we come out of COVID for the industry. We need to look to new and better ways of doing things. Number two, the world and the aviation industry needs to embrace a greener, cleaner, safer, and equitable prosperity, for all in all of our solutions as we're going forward. Aviation needs to shift to embrace this 21st century effective growth and prosperity. And third, education, team building, and adaptability are going to be the major tools needed to survive and move forward properly. Those that want to continue to embrace the past, I don't believe are going to survive long term going into the future.
We certainly have our challenges, and it's a very exciting, also a very trying time for many. So it's good to hear that you have ideas and thoughts and how perhaps the industry can move forward, and as you say, to work together. So speaking of that, the world of ground handling is facing this ever biggest challenge as how to stay viable and how to perhaps change to reduce operational costs, staff turnover, and even aircraft damage. For our listeners, how perhaps might they embark on making necessary and sustainable changes?
I believe, and it, as part of the industry, my answer above in number four, is relevant to them as well. They must embrace the new collaborative economic reality. They must work together for solutions. Paying, living wages is it to get the best employees. Is going to be key. All right, they need to transform their company culture to the green, clean, safe, and lean philosophy focused on revenue growth and chaos elimination. They need the right people on the plane, they need them in the right seats, and they need driving and an integrated focus of culture of service and excellence. That will drive the execution and the solutions to eliminate accidents or vastly reduce, costly accidents. It will eliminate the pollution with e-equipment and other source strong sources. Working collaboratively, with airports, and airlines. They can maximize the effectiveness of ground equipment and the use of ground equipment and focus on planning arts of manpower resources to deliver a quality, highly effective product.
Well, you mentioned in your remarks there something about e-equipment. So that kind of leads me next to the next point, and that's climate change. Climate change generates a wide range of passion and at times emotional responses to outright denial that there's a problem even at all. From your perspective, what role should airlines, airports, and aircraft manufacturers play in doing their part to make a positive difference while keeping their businesses profitable, reliable, and safe?
Excellent question, Paul. I think there's really good news on this front. Okay, the green commitment has already been made by the industry leaders in all three areas: airlines, airports, and manufacturers. All right, they are on record, on numerous occasions, that they are committed to a green future. All right, and to reduce and ultimately neutralize the carbon footprint that they produce. Aviation, it produces 4% of the carbon footprint worldwide, and obviously that needs to be reduced. And the good news is the industry has recognized that and is wants to move forward. Okay, both airports and airlines have committed to the elimination of fossil fuels over periods of time. The key will be in an integrated, focused execution of that commitment to reality. Right, the commitment is wonderful. How we get there, again, collaboration is got to be key. E-aircraft, how do we make those safe and that and looking at the studies, electric airplanes can be flying in and be the mainstay of commuter travel and short-range travel within the next 15 years. And long-range travel, everybody is looking towards 2050 as the year that electric travel and clean travel, like be it electric, hydrogen, non-polluting biofuels from forest waste and other objects, where you're not pouring more carbon into the industry, will become a reality in that time, which fits in with the Paris Accord and moving down there. Avcon WW and we have a joint venture partner, Sustainair Global, have formed an aviation green fund to assist in getting there, revolving around reforestation to affect carbon offset, carbon reduction, and carbon neutrality going forward. So that's one method that we can help in that. And the other tools that we offer are in education and training and are ideally suited to the industry to achieve both their collective and individual goals.
Fascinating. You touched on it earlier on during our talk today, but in your position title, you hold the designation of CRO. Can you elaborate as to what this means and how, in particular, the CRO approach to doing business can measurably benefit the industry, especially in today's financial and operational climate?
That, Paul, is an excellent question because CRO is a very misunderstood term and what it really stands for and how it can help. When you approach the VP of sales or the director of sales and you talk about revenue growth, he says, "Well, that's my job. I'm already doing that." When you talk to the chief financial officer and you mention revenue, he says, "Well, that's my job. I look after, revenue and from the financial standpoint." The operational people, are concerned, they look at it that they're concerned with producing, the product or service that's needed and not necessarily being revenue driven. Human resources and administration and support functions, all believe that they have a background role and are not involved in the revenue generation, and elimination of the chaos. So what CRO really is you know, companies have all these silos within, and each is doing, maybe doing an absolutely excellent job, you know, within their area, but very few companies have total integration of all their departments heading in the one goal. And what's missing from the sales and missing from finance is the total integration to that every department is focused on revenue growth and the elimination of chaos. And once you start bringing that up with your chief financial officers, your chief operating officers, and your you know, sales and marketing people, when they realize that how much, you know, more effective it can be to have the operation department and the administrative department and in particular HR, I mean, because hiring is so crucial to the success of your organization. Again, getting the right people on the plane, getting them in the right seat, driving in the same direction, you know, as the CEO, and matching the focus, so the company can be so much better with an integrated cultural solution that achieves their vision and is focused on their vision and drives revenue growth and drives the elimination of unneeded cost of silos and the waste that falls between the cracks. That's what revenue science is all about, and that's what revenue science is all about achieving and helping the customer, you know, make those type of decisions. And the nice thing is the CRO thinking, once it's taught, can continue to be applied. So it is the only real long-term solution to solving those problems. There's lots of short-term solutions that you can, you know, lay off people, you can cut costs, you can do other things that are short-term solutions. But again, the waste starts to creep back in as you start to make money again. Your waste starts to creep back in, and you really haven't solved your problem. You've just masked it for a while, and that CRO is helping you create a total culture of success within your organization, and it's your success. It's not Avcon's success with, you know, Avcon WW's success with what we're teaching you. We're just trying to give you the tools so that you have long-term success, you know, in what you're focused on and what your goals are.
This is such a fascinating topic. Maybe a future podcast can talk to us about CRO. We can invite others, maybe from other industries, to join us in a discussion and perhaps spread the word, help people better understand how CRO thinking and approach that lets you address the root cause, not just the symptoms. You mentioned some of the solutions you mentioned about, you know, laying off people or doing other things along that line is only treating the symptom, right? Not necessarily the root cause, in order to keep waste out. In any event, the last question I have for you for the show today is more from an operational point of view. So Wayne, you played an instrument role in the development and then the initial operation of the then world's largest and most advanced central de-icing facility in the world, located at Toronto Pearson International Airport. What is changing in the world of de-icing? Or perhaps from another perspective, where do you see needed changes to be made to take place?
Well, yes, Paul. I mean, one of my proudest accomplishments was collaborating with the amazing team of experts such as yourself. I know that you had a dream that you sold to the Greater Toronto Airports Authority of the Central De-icing Facility. A team was assembled of, you know, that included yourself and myself to you know, make that dream, you know, a reality that is still the best in class de-icing facility in the world today. The key to building on that and building in the de-icing world is education, safety, and again, as always, green solutions, because the world is heading in that direction. So, more efficient use of glycol-based de-icing products, which right now are the primary method of keeping the aircraft safe with through the de-icing. Finding economically viable solutions that eliminate and with best operating practices improve on the spray technique. Glycol recovery and collection as part of the whole process is there. But most important, de-icing is about safety. De-icing is about making sure that airplanes with and the passengers that they are carrying, can take off safely in any weather condition and reach their destination safely. And small and private aerodromes and FBO corporations have challenges in excuse me, have challenges in these areas. The larger airports have been shifting to the central de-icing facilities. They're exceptionally strongly regulated by the Transport Canada, the FAA, EASA, and other regulators. But the smaller aerodromes and that are struggling to how do they economically set up safety icing practices and organizations? How does the corporate aviation and FBO world and the world of general aviation, achieve that as well? And again, it's through education and it's through, teaching best practices that they can apply, throughout their organization at their different locations or at their specific location, where the airport and the service provider and the airline or the corporate traveler, and the pilot are all on the same wavelength to preserve the safety and that. And I'm proud to say that Avcon WW or Avcon WOW has an excellent training program that they've created, for pilots and FBOs in the corporate world, as well as building on the already excellent training program we had in the commercial world for ground handlers and airlines. So I think education, and we would really love to be part of that.
Well, thank you, Wayne, for joining us for this first ever podcast produced for by Avcon for our listeners. Our next podcast, we take a peek at a whole new way of looking at offsetting aircraft impacts on the environment through a very unique and innovative approach. Stay tuned. Thank you from your host, Paul Ritchie, for listening to this podcast. Goodbye, and I would look forward to having you rejoin us for our next one. And have a wonderful day.